How many times while you have been manscaping have you nicked or nearly trimmed off your wiener schnitzel in the twins? Hey, I'm Christy, and with 30 years experience teaching men how to thin out their forest in their yonder region, I am so excited to tell you about this revolutionary lawn mower 3.0. The ceramic blades prevent the manscaping accidents that leave you unable to use your most favorite appendage. Oh, and gentlemen, it also keeps a 90-minute charge for those of you that haven't trimmed in quite a while. You'll need every second of that 90 minutes. Let's be real, though. No one, especially your significant other, wants to have to weed through your overgrown forest to find their favorite play toy. So order now at manscaped.com and enter the promo code podcast20 and receive 20% off plus free shipping. Serious, bushy man. Order now.
Welcome to the Sports Talk Garage Podcast, where we discuss and debate the latest news and hot takes from the court and the ball fields to the locker room and front office. We are four lifelong friends who grew up with a love of professional and collegiate sports. Today we are bankers, investors, professors, and entrepreneurs, but our love of sports has never changed. Come listen for the fun, gain some insight, and probably a few laughs as we give you our perspective on those oversized contracts, game-winning scores, and franchise players. This is the Sports Talk Garage.
Right, welcome back to another episode of the Sports Talk Garage Podcast. We're in season 2, episode 38. This is Dave, joined as always by Matt. John is taking the night off, but we are happy to be back with you. We got some football on the docket tonight, and we have some guests with us from another sports podcast, the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast, Tyler and Tim. Guys, how's it going tonight?
Great, man. Thanks for having us on.
Yeah, hey, thank you.
Certainly, we're always happy to chat football. It's a you know, one of the biggest passions of America, especially right now with, you know, sports on a hiatus. It's been the only live thing going on with the draft recently. Schedule just came out a couple, you know, about a week ago or so. So lots to talk about there. Before we really get into things, if you wouldn't just kind of give our audience kind of a glimpse of what you do, what your podcast is about, and also different areas that they could find you.
So we're a fairly new podcast. We're still kind of in our first season, first year. We're, like I said, we're fairly new, just starting up. We're just kind of a bunch of buddies with a passion for football and sports, and it's kind of grown from there. We're on just about every major platform, I guess you could say, to find podcasts, Spotify, iTunes. We're actually based off Anchor, all that good stuff. But yeah, we're growing as we take it day by day.
Awesome. And I can tell by that accent there, there's a little Northeastern Bostonian accent. So,
oh, yeah.
Got to love all the Boston teams, even outside of football. Yep. So, I mean, Celtics, Red Sox.
Oh, you won't meet a bigger Celtics fan than me, I'll tell you that.
Oh, gosh. All the Celtics. Oh, well, let's go ahead and get things tonight, drop the green flag, and kind of get going. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, draft just happened recently. It was televised, very different this year. Instead of being in Las Vegas, we had the virtual event. Actually a big hit. I was a big fan of it, just kind of getting to see inside the prospect's home, see what their families are like, and it's kind of what life is like away from, you know, the big stage with all the suits and cameras and the lights and stuff. So just a high recap of it. What were your thoughts on the draft of this year, not being in Vegas, and just a kind of shift going to the virtual side of things?
I loved it. I loved it. I think Goodell was a little awkward, but I didn't really notice much of a difference, but the big thing that we noticed and we discussed on our last episode was how terrible ESPN did with the highlight tapes for all the players this year.
Yeah.
Oh, it was atrocious.
Yeah.
There was players that didn't even have highlights. It was just – and they were referencing every last bad thing that could have ever happened.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, it was just ridiculous.
Yeah, it was a little depressing seeing all this player's parent battled cancer. This player's had a family member who, you know, something terrible right. happened. Let's talk about the highlights of their life. This is the best night of their life right. so far. And let's not
Absolutely.
Get depressing.
Let's see what we're all here to see. Let's get excited. These guys just changed their life. Let's talk about the good stuff. I don't want to hear about every last bad thing that's happened. That's not what we hear.
Yeah, I think there was like 3 first round picks in a row where there was somebody with cancer, somebody who died.
Yeah.
And it was just very depressing when it's the highlight of their life. They worked 21, 24 years for this and they're just bringing up bad memories, you know?
So they definitely don't want to live. That's for sure.
No.
Well, once you got past the first and second round, they start bringing on Western country artists and all this other stuff, and they start cutting off these guys if they even had those kind of highlights, or even the thing where they come out and introduce themselves and toss a football around to themselves or whatever. Their 5 minutes of fame is completely gone because we'd rather watch a country artist sing on live TV. That kind of upset me to no end.
First two rounds, I did like the way it was done. It was almost like they didn't skip a beat for me. But yeah, after the second round, it got a little tricky.
Yeah. So, what are your thoughts? Well, you are right. Oh, go ahead there.
No, I was going to say you are right. It was nice to see the personality of each player. That was a nice change.
So as we look forward, I mean, it's going to, I think, Cleveland this year or next year, and then Vegas after that to kind of make up for this year. Are you going to miss not having this virtual event, or is there some way you want to integrate that into just going back to the live, you know, everybody together in the same room?
I don't think it's ever going to be, the virtual draft is ever going to be as good as the live draft. You don't get the boos, you don't get the live reactions. I wasn't a big fan of Goodell talking to the Skypers behind him and talking about his basement. But again, you know, that live reaction when fans start cheering, fans start booing, the players get their picture. It's a bigger event than just players' names getting called, you know?
Certainly.
It was fun to see him turn around at one point and kind of yell at the TV. I forget which team it was, but he's looking at the fans. Well, go ahead and boo me. Boo.
Yeah.
About as good as you can do right now.
They even had commercials asking for it.
Great. Draft is gone. You know, first round draft picks are starting to sign their contracts. We've seen a few of those recently. But there's some guys who have been in the league for a few years who are now free agents, still unsigned. There's some big names out there that, you know, currently do not have a home for this upcoming season. Just to cover a couple of those, probably the most common person, former MVP, is Cam Newton, formerly of the Panthers. He's 31. Where's he going? Mm-hmm. What's going to happen with him?
Man, there's so many rumors floating around with him. Coming to New England, he's talked about, I thought he was going to end up in Chicago and battle for that job. Obviously, they didn't go that direction. I just don't understand I shouldn't say I don't understand. I get why everybody's scared with all the injuries and things of that sort. But he's still fairly young. He's played a lot of good football. And I think if he could be healthy, he could be, we'll say 60, 70% of what he was, he's still better than most quarterbacks that are out there right now. It's hard to see why somebody wouldn't want him.
Yeah, so we have a long history with Cam Newton here on this podcast, and there's some love, there's some definite hate by some of us. So there's a little bit on both sides. And I was actually shocked how unceremoniously he was released after the coach got this huge press conference, and he just got a little tweet of like, hey, thanks for playing here. Kind of killed any trade value he had, but...
The thing with him is I think he shot himself in the foot with his attitude and his personality almost, you know. Yep. And there's teams that just flat out said that they're not interested in him because of his attitude and his demeanor and his non-leadership skills. You know, you guys know a little bit more than we do being in the North, you know, in the Panther country. But, I mean, the Patriots came out and said, we're not interested in Cam Newton. They have an obvious hole at quarterback. I don't know if Stidham's the answer here, but.
Yeah, which is crazy since, you know, people kind of fall into the Bill Belichick way of you do it the Patriot way and they can kind of conform. So it's kind of odd they haven't done anything.
Yeah, if Albert Haynesworth is going to come here and see if it's going to work, why not Cam Newton at the most important position?
I agree with that.
I would think it's worth a shot.
You know, I almost wondered if Belichick was holding off on him just for an attitude thing, but he's one of the few guys I would think could really, with his history of quarterbacks, like kind of whip him into the quarterback he wants. But let's be honest, and this is something I've talked about on the show a lot, he never actually developed into more of a pocket passer, which, you know, with age, you can't continue to be a dual threat. I mean, I get he's only 31, but – you know, I'm in my mid-30s, and I'm telling you, stuff hurts more for longer than it used to, you know.
Yep.
When you've taken those kinds of hits, and he's been, you know, over and over inside of that medical tent.
He never slid.
Right. So it's just one of those things. Like, if you can't sit back and become more of a pocket passer, he's an ice line guy. He's going to throw that tight rope. You know, he can't really do the honey dip thing, and he never really developed that way. So if you can't do that, you're still a dynamic quarterback, but you, again, like you said, he doesn't slide. He's going to go for the hit, and he's going to keep going. He's a big dude, but at some point you're going to not be able to stand back up from those hits from these guys that we just saw get drafted that are young and hungry.
And so, talking about getting hit, let's talk about a guy who does some hitting. Jadeveon Clowney, a long time with down in Texas, most recently, though, with the Seahawks. He's only 27. Apparently, he's holding out for that big deal of $20-plus million. Is that something a team's willing to give him?
See, I heard that he lowered his price tag down to $17, $18 million. But the thing is that I think he wants the money and to be on the winner. And most of those winners don't really have cap space right now.
That's a great point. I mean,
I think there is a few teams that he would fit into well that I think does have the money to pay him, though. I mean, you got teams like the Eagles, the Titans, who still have some money to spend, mm-hmm. and they could very easily be contenders. The Cowboys are always throwing money mm-hmm. around.
Well, if you Jerry put him Jones, with the Eagles, so yeah. What was it last year when he put a kind of a questionable hit on your star quarterback? Is he going to be okay with bringing him on?
That's to be seen. But if they win in championships, everything's right. all forgiven. At
yeah,
that
you
point.
Know the Eagles
get
fans
that
only want to win.
That's true. Well, another quarterback who's actually won a Super Bowl on a different team, though. Joe Flacco with the Broncos won a few years ago down with the Ravens. He's getting up there in age. I mean, he's 35 now. Is there a place for him still as a starter? Or is he kind of regulated to that backup role?
I haven't seen anything on Flacco as a starter. I actually saw some rumors today that people were talking about him potentially going to the Jets as a backup for Sam Darnold. Probably play that mentor role and kind of bring him up to speed a little bit more. But I just don't see him as a starter. His play has been mm-hmm. so bad for so long now. And he hasn't finished a season in, mm-hmm. what, 2 years? Yeah. If not more.
He's very injury prone.
I just don't see it for him. Yeah.
So he essentially had that one magical season, got a ring, and got himself that big contract, and then just kind of crapshoot from there.
Yeah, it's all been downhill since then.
Hey, you know what? He got his money, so I'm sure he's happy living large off that. But still, that's a pretty bad.
Oh, absolutely.
It's a bad trajectory going downhill from a Super Bowl.
But
win.
he is one of those guys. Mm-hmm. If the wind blows behind him, he could probably throw a 75-yard bomb. That guy has a rifle.
Oh, for sure.
Oh, and you know, nobody can question it either.
As a backup, I think he'd be great. He mm-hmm. step in when you keep you competitive, maybe win you a game or yep. two, and. I would be okay with that, but I just don't see it as a starter anymore. He's just not that guy. The league's
and you can argue the Jets might have been able to squeak out a wild card spot if he was there instead of any of those Jets backups last year.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, well, I mean, quarterback's that one position where you need a good insurance policy because that's the one thing you can't afford to really lose out on and have a no-name guy behind you who's not going to do anything. So is it worth overpaying for a big name backup today? I probably just way, you know, the NFL is gone.
A lot of teams.
Hey,
are doing
Bridgewater
it.
Just proved it.
Hey, yeah. Yes, he did. $63 million worth. He proved it. We'll see how.
Well,
that
he
goes.
Proved his agent proved so, that he can get him money. We'll see what he can do with a you know college coach well, stepping up into the ranks.
He played well last year when called upon. That's the thing, you know.
The
difference between being a division winner or you know. Getting a top four seed and being a you know 5-6 seed in the NFC,
definitely, and it's a tough division. So let's go to back to defense for a moment. Eli Apple, cornerback, only 25, still young. I'm very surprised that he's not signed. I mean, only 25. He's had some good seasons. What's going on with that?
This mystery with him because. Wasn't there something that had happened that the Raiders had come to an agreement with him and they had a deal, but then it fell apart. But there hasn't really been any talk or news of what actually happened there. he's kind of a mystery right now. I think there's teams that could use him. I think he's still going to be a solid corner for somebody, but there's obviously something going on with him, whether it's money or there's an undisclosed injury that we just don't know about.
And if there is an injury, it's definitely a tough time for guys now with, kind of that whole stay at home. You can't really go visit teams or facilities, or doctors can't get in there and examine a guy. It's going to make it tough for, yes, anybody who could possibly have an injury to get a contract right now.
Yeah. I see a good fit with the Cowboys, though. Lost Byron Jones. Mm-hmm. 25 years old, he can still – I think he should take a one-year prove-it deal somewhere and get paid next year, especially, just prove it somewhere. Prove that you can still play. Prove that you're still one of the, better cornerbacks in the league and you're a starting corner and you'll get paid next year.
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely not bad if you believe in yourself and, the – salary cap's projected to go up year by year. So if you can wait a year to sign a bigger deal, might as well if you believe in yourself.
Yeah.
It definitely could be beneficial.
Yeah. So let's go to a former Ohio State running back who's been in the league for a few years, Carlos Hyde of the Texans, only 29. Probably in that backup role moving forward, but still a good player who can easily play first or second down. Any thoughts on where he might go, what he might do?
I've seen some talk that the Eagles are interested in him. I think he could be very serviceable back up there. Ten touches a game.
Take the Jordan Howard role.
Yeah, exactly. And he'd be just fine there. I think he'd be a nice little fit too.
And then kind of last guy I'm really thinking of at the moment, then certainly you two can give me any thoughts you have there. Clay Matthews. For a long time with the Packers, mostly the Rams, though, kind of that edge linebacker role, depending on what formation the defense is in. The man's a beast. I don't care how old he is. He's probably knock anybody's head off, but can he still play at a high level?
That I don't think so. He's been on a rapid decline for a couple of years now. He's going to go and be a third down pass rusher mentor role kind of guy. Maybe go to, the Browns and try to mentor Myles Garrett or some of those younger defensive players over there. Could be worth an investment for them. I just don't see him really having anything more than a third down pass rush mentor role somewhere on a team.
Hmm. Okay.
I mean, he's still playing good football. I have his numbers up in front of me. He had 8 sacks last year and had, 37 tackles, something like that. He's still producing. He's not just disappearing at this point. But
he's not the guy he was in Green Bay.
No.
Well, they also built a defense with him. And I think there's something to be said about, kind of where the game has evolved to all the way up from – I would say college up through the NFL now, it seems to be back to more of a spread. I mean, if you look at it, in the NFL, there's only maybe 3 teams that have real fullbacks that really want to run that smash mouth. Baltimore does more of a odd-ended, pistol-type offense or full house. But for the most part, it's a spread. Right. Set up your wide receivers that are 6'5", or let's call it 6'1" to 6'5", that can jump 30 plus inches. So if you look at that, you have to have that edge rusher that's going to put pressure on the quarterback, but it is, it just depends on the coach. Are you running a 30 front, 34 defense? Are you running a nickel? How are you kind of putting that there? And with a guy like this, again, he's a big dude, but you have to keep up with younger guys that are running their 40s and 4.5 or less coming off that edge. Heck, 4.5 used to be grease lightning. Now it's kind of like tossing a stone in the air waiting for it to hit the ground. It's just not – it's not the same speed. So I think you guys make perfect sense in that he's going to have to go mentor somewhere.
And, well
– I'm just not sure where that fit really is for him, though.
Oh, I wouldn't surprise me if he takes a smaller deal just to continue playing for a year or two. So, but I got a question for you. Obviously, you're Patriot fans from the Northeast. So outside of quarterback, which everybody knows is not the most established position in the team right now, what positions are you wanting to get filled? Who do you want to come play for the Patriots this season?
Ooh. Oh boy.
David just put you guys on the clock. Congratulations.
Yeah, really.
In the first round.
I mean, I wouldn't mind Jadeveon Clowney running off the edge, but the issue is we don't have any cap space. We have pretty much less than $1 million in cap space. You know, there's some things that can be done with restructuring Hightower and Stephon Gilmore and extending Tooney, and you could probably get up to $10 million in cap space just doing that. Yeah. But I don't know if it's a long-term investment the team wants to make, but, you know, we're in a rebuild. I don't want to sign a guy like, you know, Clay Matthews or Carlos Hyde. I'd rather Sony Michel get more reps and Rex Burkhead than I would, you know, because I don't see us being a win now team anymore. I'd rather take a guy like Eli Apple and give him a 1-year deal, or Jadeveon Clowney and give him a 1-year prove it deal, and then listen, you want to get paid next year, we'll pay you. When we get rid of this $26 million in dead money we have,
well, let's just give you guys an opportunity. Let's say that they've got $15 million in cap space to play with. That should be enough for you guys to pick some pickups to, you know, put you back in some good contention. Where would you guys go with that?
I'd probably give it a Clowney.
I think it's got to go defense. Clowney. We lost a lot of linebackers. We definitely need to fill some space there. We picked up some guys in the draft, but you never really know how that's going to turn out. So another veteran presence to kind of mentor, like we're saying. So maybe Matthews would be a good fit there. Something of that sort. Like Tim saying, on a 1-year deal, kind of show these guys what they need to be.
It sounds so foreign to me to hear the word Patriots and rebuild in the same sentence. It's been so many years since those two have been together, but from somebody who's not a Patriots fan, it's kind of nice that dynasty is finally come to an end and some other teams can kind of take over that mantle.
Does anybody want Tim Tebow back?
So,
I mean, you guys had him on lock for a minute.
Oh God, no.
Just saying.
God, no.
Nope.
He's doing just fine in baseball. He can stay there.
Oh, Tebow. I mean, he was a Patriot. I can give you that. So
he was Taysom Hill before Taysom Hill.
There you go.
He was our punt protector and fullback. Remember that?
Yes, he was. He was kind of a one-stop shop there. Before we move on to our break, any other free agent news that you want to talk about or guys you think going somewhere, big deals to happen?
I think the best free agent on the board that, you know, a lot of people are kind of overlooking is Logan Ryan. He just announced that he's not returning to Tennessee next year. He must have had something fall apart with the deal he was working out there. That's another good corner who's proven that he can cover the slot, which is a tough position for some of these bigger, larger, you know, lankier corners to cover. I think he could go to a team and really shore up their secondary somewhere.
Yeah, he'd definitely be a good fit on a number of teams. And, yeah, I was surprised to see he's not coming back to Tennessee. I'd love to know what caused that split to happen because he was a good fit there.
I think he even told ESPN, like, they never really tried to bring me back. So it sounds like the Titans were the ones that really weren't a huge fan of him at some point.
Which is weird because he's an expatriate and that's all they sign, them and the Dolphins.
Yeah.
And now the Lions. Oh, yeah. Line.
So pretty much if you've been an assistant coach in New England, you want all their ex-players.
Yep. Well, familiarity carries a lot of weight there.
It does.
Yeah. Man. All right. Well, we are going to take a quick break here for our sponsors so that we can keep this virtual show going on the road and be back with all of you momentarily. Right. And welcome back again to season 2, episode 38. We are on with Tyler and Tim from the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. It's good to have them on chatting some football with us. And the first half of the show kind of did a high level draft recap, what we liked it, and also covered some big name free agents who maybe surprisingly still unsigned or not surprisingly still unsigned. But as we move forward, let's kind of talk about the most recent thing. The NFL schedule release happened a few days ago. And it's very interesting seeing how maybe 10 years ago, you know, the schedule's out, you took a look at it, you know, you circled those games that you're interested in, but now it's this whole event, you know, each team has their social media department. They create this whole video of, you know, week one, we're playing this team, week two, we're going here. And it's actually fun to watch, and it's fun to kind of be a part of. And I've still circled a few games that I'm interested in going to see, but just so the kind of overall high level first, what were your thoughts on the schedule release and the whole
event? First of all, we're going to have you guys come down for the Panthers Buccaneers game on September 20th. Because, you know, that's basically y'all's entire team transferred down to Florida. So
I'll wear my Brady jersey.
We've been talking about traveling for a game recently anyway, so that's it works perfect. Out great. Oh, man. But high level, I enjoy that. I actually come from a design background and things like that, so it's fun to watch all the social media things that come up. Let's see what the difference between each teams. I follow big time with like the logo reveals and things of that sort. And that stuff's always exciting to me because I love to judge it. And
okay, hold on. So if you're going to do that, LA Rams, so, go. You know.
Hey, oh, thank you.
It's absolutely
thank you. We can agree on that.
I don't understand what they were thinking there. Anyone that likes it, I have to judge them too. They're all going to get thrown in that one Trump, category because it is bad.
Haircut wave.
It makes no sense.
You weren't a
fan. Yeah, I didn't like that.
Oh my gosh, that was great.
No.
It was bad. Oh, man.
And no idea what they were thinking there.
Yeah, that was a horrible.
That could be a one and done, and they go back to it next year.
You feel bad. It's like, did you think, like, with such bad reception, is this where you just try to cover it? This is going to be really bad, but it's like, we had the children at whatever hospital do a design on this logo for us, and we got really excited. Next year, we'll change it.
Yeah. Yeah. I just feel bad for everybody that goes out and buys a jersey with that logo on it. Now.
I don't know why somebody would. You have to be a true committed fan to do that, because that's bad. So I took a look. I too enjoy the kind of design part and just seeing, you know, how this has evolved from social media teams and just releasing their videos of what's going on each week. But I kind of looked through the schedule at different teams and kind of saw some matchups and some things that I was interested in or kind of intrigued by. One thing that really stuck out to me is the Raiders. You know, they moved to Vegas. They got Allegiant Stadium. From the pictures I've seen, it looks beautiful. They're not even opening week one there. How do you have a team in a new stadium you don't even have opening Sunday there? What is that, like, the schedule anchor's fault? Like,
I think the reason they did it is because they went with the Monday Night Football release when they have their own night week two. You know, because that Thursday night game is going to be at the defending champions. And then the Monday night, there's two games where they kind of take the shadow away from each other. You're putting them on the prime time at, you know, Saints. You're bringing Drew Brees in. You're bringing the, you know, you're bringing a lot of attention to that game. I think I actually like the spot there week two for an opener.
So I definitely overlooked that week two matchup. But, yeah, I mean, that's good when all of America's be watching Monday Night Football. So forgive me on that one. I still think it should have just had two games there because you're opening in the stadium. So one thing I did like, obviously Brady and Breesh going off in week one, two, you know, big name quarterbacks, high offense, potent offense. That'll be kind of cool. Buffalo Bills though have four primetime games of all teams, the Bills. You know, they got a Thursday night with the Chiefs, two Monday night games, and then a Sunday night football with the Steelers. That seems like a lot for the Bills.
I think they're kind of picking them to be the team that floats around in the top of the AFC now. I think they're gonna run the show and gonna battle with the Chiefs and the Ravens for the next few years. And I think that's where they're the new shiny toy with Diggs and Allen coming together. There's a lot of potential there with them.
What else happened? See, Packers are actually opening at Minnesota for the first time ever, which is kind of crazy.
I think that's actually a big game. People aren't realizing.
So that'll be neat to see. You know, not going in Lambeau for a while. Giants have two Monday Night Football games. Not really sure how that happened. Other than it's just New York, and that's it. It's just New York City. Gotta say the one thing that New York has over every other team. You know, they got the Giants, they got the Jets there, so all the hotels, the bars, the restaurants have to be happy. Whoever does parking there has to be happy because they get stuff every weekend, whereas all the other teams just have, you know, 50% of the time you got people coming. when you got those away games. So
I wonder how true that really is, though, because I feel like a lot of people in New York really just don't drive anymore. A lot of it's probably Ubers and taxis and
the bars will
train
do well.
System and things like
the
that.
The bars will, yeah. Okay.
The bars
good point
will
on the driving. Ubers, taxis, that's a good point. But yeah, bars and restaurants, I'm sure they will be packed before, definitely after. So I'm sure they are quite happy. Any schedule comments, questions that you guys have or thoughts?
One I had was there's a 5 games in 6-week stretch for the 49ers where they play the Patriots, Seahawks, Packers, Saints, Rams, Bills.
Ooh.
And I think that's a tough stretch. I think they have a very, very difficult schedule. Never mind the fact that they play the Cardinals twice, Seattle twice.
Well, and let's be honest, they've got, 2 games back-to-back between the Jets and the Giants, which means you're flying across country twice.
Yeah, they have a tough schedule.
Well, they kind of earned it based on how they set themselves up over the last couple of years. They've been a tough team, and that's what you build your schedule off of.
Yeah,
and that's kind of how the schedule makers do it too, with the way they do 2 each division. They do 1 division AFC, 1 division NFC, and then they get the 2 teams that were sandwiched around them the year before. So they get the top 2 teams that were around them in the standings last year.
And that is a tough 6-7 week schedule there. I'd hate to – gosh, I can't imagine what that's going to be like. One thing I did not look up, which I should have before we started here, what team is going to have to fly the most miles? Like, I think last season some team was flying like 5,900 miles during the course of the season. I'm curious if anybody's beating that this year, if anybody's close to it. Something I always enjoy thinking, how many cross-country trips are going. Obviously, there's...
Well, haven't there been a few United games that's already been canceled, too, isn't there? I thought I remember seeing something about that.
I don't think... Has anything been canceled yet?
I believe that everything's going to be done in the United States.
Say, other than the Europe games?
Oh, yeah. The Mexico City and London.
Yeah,
unfortunately, those are not going to happen. I actually enjoyed seeing the London games. The brand new stadium, the Tottenham Spurs. It looks really nice. Not something that I would travel over for, but it's certainly cool to see on television. The bright, shiny stadium.
And I looked it up really quick while you were talking. Seattle flies the most miles. It's just under 30,000 miles, and then the Rams and 49ers.
Oh my gosh! I guess that's a problem when you're playing in a corner of the United States instead of like Texas or something. Short flight either way, man, that's crazy. Couldn't imagine all the times on that. So something that we have talked about on this podcast a long time ago when it comes to basketball and all the miles and late flights is, sleeping. And how do you actually get a good night's rest when you're flying back after a late game, getting back home? Obviously, you're not playing, 2-3 games in a week like NBA players. But, you're definitely taking a toll on your body. Kind of wonder... that affects when you're flying that many miles across country, what it does to your body compared to the guys who don't have to travel as far as often.
Yeah. I mean, just speaking, I played a little bit of college football, and even just the bus rides out to these different schools, you're leaving hours before the game, so you're not really resting well. You're not eating well before the games. It's a lot more stress on your body, and you don't get a lot of rest just from that aspect. So I would think that's tenfold at that point when you talk about traveling all these miles and living in hotels and things like that for the week, and you probably just not really ever get
well. And you have to look at this too. So the whole week before they fly out there. So if you play college, how this goes, right? You're and put this at the NFL level. So from college where you're in class all day, you're doing in between class. If you have a free period, you're doing game tape or getting a maintenance lift in, you're on certain dietary restrictions, you're showing up for practice or you have to go to the trainer's office, then to the field, or trainer's office meetings, field, dinner, meetings, so your whole day is taken up. So now this is your job, right? And you're going from – I remember talking to Brenson Buckner about this. Mm-hmm. Who? Where is he now? Arizona. He's with the Cardinals now.
Cardinals. Yeah.
I remember talking when I did some coaching with him, and it was like, dude, my wife didn't understand just how much goes into this. Like when we moved, you know, you're sun up to sun down football. So during a normal week, you know, you're doing football all day, all week. And all I can imagine is, I don't know about you guys, like when I played in college, you know, they play the freaking game tape that we're getting ready to play on that game. You know, we're doing scout tape on the travel. So you're watching that while you're getting ready mm-hmm. and listening to yeah. music and, you know, sitting with a position coach potentially. So if you're on the airplane having to do that, then you're trying to get in, you know, wake up, walk around, get your whatever, the sleep out of your legs while you're from sitting in that airplane forever. I mean, good God.
Sure. It's just going to be brutal.
And so for one season, I did work for a college football team. I did video. I also worked in operations a little bit. But as soon as games were done, I was back there with the rest of the crew. We were cutting up tape. Coaches wanted it, you know, as soon as they got back to their office so they could start going through what happened, start breaking it down after every practice. Mm-hmm. And we, I mean, it was like clockwork as soon as things were done. And I'd leave at 9, 10 at night. Coaches were still there. I was like, dude, you guys, I don't think a lot of people who are just casual fans understand how many hours coaches and players put into this. I mean, granted, it's a full-time job like everybody else, but you're on a big stage, you're getting millions of dollars, and you got to perform. So there's a lot that goes into it. So, all right, so I got one question for everybody on here. What is the one matchup to watch? What's the one game this season that is the one thing you have to tune in, whether it's your team, whether it's not your team, just one thing you want to see?
For me, it's Chiefs-Ravens week 3.
Okay.
Mahomes-Lamar.
Okay.
Monday Night Football.
I
think that's going to be the game of the year.
Okay. So I'm actually going to go Chiefs and Saints week 15, Mahomes and Breeze. Two high-powered offensive coaches in Andy Reid, Sean Payton. You know, it's going to be a shootout. Both teams are probably going to be gearing up for playoffs and position seeding. So it's going to be a big must-win for both teams. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm not a fan of either team by any stretch, but that's one game that I do not want to miss.
The one I'm looking forward to is the Bengals at the Ravens in week 5. Two kind of the new shiny pieces. We'll see what Burrow really is against some competition. It'll be flashy. It'll be exciting. There'll be a lot of rave about it, I'm sure. I think it'll be an interesting, exciting game.
I was going to go with the Ravens as well, so I'll just stick with that. You know, coming down the line in December. So when they're playing the Bengals, what is that, October first game? Okay, so when they're playing Dallas is in December, so these guys are most of the way through their season at this point. You know, we'll see what holds up, who's going to be injured, who's going to be going. But I think the Ravens have a pretty solid core right now. You know, I really like what Lamar's got going on, and I think Dallas is going to be hurting by that point. So I'm curious to see how they react against a big team, because even with the changes here, I would not want to see Dallas's defense, even as pivotal, or I guess strong as the Ravens offense is, Dallas's defense is just always a tough game. Doesn't matter if you're playing there or here. So, but they are at the Ravens, so that could help them out quite a bit with the weather change.
Okay. All right, and one last question for everybody. Let's say that everything's back to normal enough, whether fans are in stadiums or not, and we have a full 16-game season for each team. What is your Super Bowl matchup? Ooh. Who's going to make it to the end?
If you don't say Tampa Bay, you're not a true Patriots fan, right?
This is probably me being off.
I actually don't have them. I have
no,
New Orleans.
Not at all. I mean,
okay.
A lot of people hate on certain Patriots fans for saying, you know, hey, if he's not going to win it here and we're not going to win it, why not root for Brady? But I see New Orleans in it. Everybody's been picking them for four years now. And then it's just which juggernaut's going to come out of the AFC, whether it's the Chiefs or the Ravens. I know Tyler's a little bit down on the Ravens this year, but I think that the pieces they added on their defense, they're an all-around football team, and then they added another solid running back to go with Ingram, who has a lot of miles on him. I have New Orleans Ravens.
Okay, that would be a good matchup.
So I'm kind of similar. I agree with the New Orleans pick, but Tim's right. I am down on Baltimore this year. I think people are going to start to figure out Lamar a little more, and they're going to struggle a little bit this year. I actually think out of the AFC, people are going to be surprised. Ooh, and Pittsburgh's going to come out of nowhere. If they can stay healthy, that defense is very young. They fly around. They're physical. And if Big Ben can sling the rock a little bit, that offense is going to open wide up. And I think they're going to surprise a lot.
I think he's crazy. Did you mean Tom Hanks from Castaway? That Big Ben?
Yeah.
I think he's crazy for that.
You need the shave.
Okay. Man, well, we got two of the Watt brothers on the Steelers, so we still have that going for him.
Yeah.
All right.
I just think offensively that's going to be tough. You know, all right. I haven't even gotten this far, so I think this is going to be a fun little plan. You know, I think you guys are going to call me crazy, but I think Tennessee showed us a lot last year. I don't know that they're going to have enough to play into it this year. I think that's the only one that I'm going to hang my hat on is, like, this could be a weird one to kind of sit down, watch, and see if it happens. I don't even have another side of this pick because there were so many good pickups this year inside the draft. It's going to be interesting to see how these coaches can kind of play it. I want to see Washington Redskins in about 2 years once they've had a new change. But for this year, I have a hard time. I love your faith in the Steelers. I don't know about that one. You know, Big Ben's kind of had a hard time staying out of the hospital. and they go through running backs that are like the best running backs in the league. The key there. Give them enough blocking. But, you know, you have to have a quarterback that can sit up there and pass. And one of their quarterbacks needs to be in jail. I won't mention any names. Who in the NFC could – I guess, yeah, the Saints could – probably be that group. I don't know. Seattle's got a tough league, tough go, but they could be pretty strong too. I'll stick with you guys. Let's go to the Saints, and I'd love to see the Titans play this one in. I'd like to see them actually finish out.
Okay. All right, so we're gonna go 4 for 4 on one of these. I'm also going Saints. I think everybody knows this is Drew Brees' last year. He's going to be locked in, wants to get a ring before he retires.
Is this his Peyton Manning finish with the Broncos?
This is his finish right here. This is his finish. For AFC, though,
yeah, sail off into the sunset.
As much as Baltimore scares me, I don't see how anybody's taking down Mahomes and the Chiefs. They're still too good. Mahomes is the craziest quarterback who can make any pass, like sidearms, for 70 yards down the field if he wants. I just don't see anybody taking it.
What was his crazy stat last year? Was it like there's minimum of 10 yards between the receiver that catches the ball and the nearest defender?
Oh, no, I think it was like 3 or 4.
I thought it was more than that.
It's still pretty wide open. So, yeah, Chiefs, they're fun to watch. I don't care about the Chiefs, but they're just fun to watch. And you just want to tune in and just see what play he's going to make every Sunday.
Yeah, I think you could pick the Chiefs for just about any pick at this point. I mean, I think they're going to be a contender for the next 10 years.
Yeah.
As long as Mahomes is there.
As long as he's there and healthy. Yeah, he can certainly lift
the team up. I know he's not a free agent. I know it's just kind of a weird final question, but Dak Prescott, does anybody see him signing, or do we think he's going to end up on his own this year for a year?
I don't think Dallas should sign him for the money he wants. I don't think he's that quarterback. He's not in the Patrick Mahomes level, and that's what he wants to get paid.
Yeah. And supposedly he turned down $33 million a year because it wasn't enough, which I don't understand. I'm not sure what he's wanting. I don't think it's been publicly said, but yeah, he's definitely not at that level to demand that kind of money.
I do think that he is in that top tier of these new quarterbacks that are coming in, and he will get paid. And I think he will stay in Dallas, though.
Oh, if he doesn't, is that where Cam ends up?
I mean, they just got the red rifle.
That's it.
Hey, red rifle taking over. Oh, well, it's been fun, guys. We got, what, like 4 months till the season officially kicks off, a little bit less until preseason gets going, which I'm excited just for preseason to get here, even training camp at this point, since we're on day whatever without live sports. So even though I'm not a Patriots fan, wish you two the best in your Patriots season this season.
We'll need
it. We appreciate it. We're definitely going to need
it. But you will need it. So I feel comfortable saying that, knowing that you're not going to win a Super Bowl. So good luck this season, guys. But yeah, it's been a lot of fun talking some football, and we look forward to listening to your podcast down the road. Just again, if you want to tell everybody where people can find you on social media so they can get connected to you.
Yeah, we're on Spotify, Apple, all the major platforms. You know, we're The Wire Fantasy Football Podcast. And on social media, The Wire FFB, as in boy. Anybody wants to take a look and take a listen.
Awesome. Well, yeah, if you're interested in football, fantasy football, anything NFL related, make sure you check them out for some good news, previews, reviews, tips.
David, I just want you to know, I'm calling Tim and Tyler before we do our normal draft this year. So expect to get your butt kicked. I'm not going to let you run over this with your luck this year.
Well, yeah, you can text me anytime, and I can give you some inside scoops on what weak. I think.
Matt needs it.
What?
Matt needs it a lot. He needs some help.
Whatever.
We'll Sound coach good. You up. We'll coach you up.
Oh, thanks, man. Guys. We definitely appreciate it.
Oh, well, it's been fun, guys. Thanks for joining us this week.
Absolutely. Thank you, guys. Anytime.
Cool. Take care.
Right, we're going to wave the checkered flag, go ahead and get some final thoughts in. Before that, we just again want to thank Tyler and Tim from the Wire Fantasy Football Podcast for coming on, joining us tonight, and chatting some football. So, Matt, final thoughts for the night. What's got?
Oh, let's see. So, COVID week number 5,000, everybody's still locked indoors, and the only sports we can talk about are the video series from Michael Jordan. Thanks to ESPN, which I still haven't gotten a chance to go back to, and you know, the hopes of the NFL having a season this year, you know, and prayers on that. And I coach, you know, in the lower levels, so you know, junior high, high school. So honestly, like, if we go without this, I'm gonna go nuts. I'm starting to talk to the other coaches I work with again, and you know, just it's. Everybody's got their fingers crossed, you know, Hail Marys, the rosary beads, anything you can to, you know, hope God turns sports back on. So, you know, just another week, man. We're doing some traveling down to Florida. So we're, you know, kind of crossing through some state lines right now and hopefully going to get some sun. So I'm excited for some warmth.
Yeah, warmth is always good. I will always choose that over cold. So, yeah, you mentioned Michael Jordan. I have been watching The Last Dance every Sunday. And before it came on, Michael said to me, like, you're not going to like me very much after this. I love him. I love how competitive he is. Just kind of seeing that other side of him that I guess you don't really see because you don't get access to the locker room. But I'm loving this. I actually want to buy a pair of Jordans. I've never owned one before. I think I want to get the Jordan 3s, the retros. They look kind of cool with that red, black, and gray. I don't know. Maybe someday I'll do it. So, yeah, day whatever of being stuck inside, working from home, not really venturing too far, but it is what it is. I have heard the NBA may come back and possibly finish out the season either in Las Vegas or at Disney World. Both have some good options for like housing, courts and stuff. So that hopefully football comes back in the fall. That would be a sad fall without it.
Oh, speaking of basketball, lots going on with Adidas again inside the college world.
Adidas.
Who is it right now? Is it Kansas that's on the wire?
And also apparently Adidas and Nike both gave Duke's, I guess, former Duke player Zion Williamson and or his parents some money to get him to go to Duke.
Come
so
play Duke.
Let's see. It's going to be interesting to see how that shakes out and what happens with that, because it's nothing's going to happen Zion.
But Duke, if these guys are going to get paid to play, then, you know, I mean, we're doing is talking semantics till they actually write in what the rules are going
to
be.
Yeah, so it'll be good to follow up on and see what happens with Zion and his parents, who knows. Duke's going to be the one who suffers from that ultimately. But, yeah.
Yep.
So, well, it's fun talking some fantasy football podcast with The Wire, guys. Yeah, we're signing off. We'll be back next week. for another guest from the Carolina Panthers. So make sure you tune in for that. And we are off for tonight, guys.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. If you'd like to have your sports-related question or comment featured on the show, please email us at sportstalkgarage@gmail.com. Also, if you want to keep up to date with us outside of the show, please follow us on Twitter at sportsgaragepod. If you enjoyed the show, please drop us a 5-star review and subscribe if you want to hear more. So for Chris back in the studio, David and Matt, I'm John, and we are the Sports Talk Garage.